Back when I was in high school, I had a poster hanging in my room with the various names of Jesus in the Bible. And there was a black background, and all the names were printed in various bright colors. And right in the middle of the poster was the name I Am in bright white. Made it stand out from all of the rest. We're going to be looking at the names of Jesus throughout this Christmas season. And we discover that these names were not given simply because they sounded good at the time, or because they were popular, or even because of some hereditary significance. Each of these names given to Jesus is a description of who he is. And the better we understand the names, the better we get to know who he is. And so we're going to be looking at the names of Jesus as given in the nativity accounts. We'll be focusing in our morning messages in Matthew and Luke. And this morning, we begin in Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Matthew 1, verses 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Emmanuel. First, I'd like to go back and consider the original prophecy that is cited here. And for that, we go to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 7, where we read in verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." That's the verse that Matthew had quoted. But let's not ignore the broader context of where that verse fits in Isaiah. You'll notice it begins with the word, therefore. That indicates that it's connecting to something previous. That is, the divine word is not separate from what triggered it in this episode, both externally and internally. The background of this prophecy takes us back 700 years before the birth of Christ. Ahaz was the king of Judah. He was not a very godly man. And at this time, he is threatened by two nations, Israel and Syria. They were threatening him because Judah would not join Israel and Syria, as they were trying to ward off the Assyrian Empire, which is present-day Iran. Judah was not going along with them, and so they were threatening to attack Judah because they would not join in this endeavor. So what we find out is not only was Ahaz not going to join Israel and Syria, but he had sent special messengers to the Assyrians asking for their help to ward off these two enemies that were threatening them. And so God sent the prophet Isaiah to speak to the king. And you see that unfold here in Isaiah chapter 7. In verses 4 through 9, God assures Ahaz that he will not allow these two kings threatening him to succeed. And you see kind of the bottom line in verse 9. He says, "If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all." Now, after saying that, the prophet invites Ahaz to ask God for a sign. Could be something in heaven, could be something on earth. This would be some miracle that confirms what the prophet says is true. Now, a sign was normally fulfilled within a short time so that it would validate the prophecy. But Ahaz, depending more on his alleged savvy as an international politician, protests that such a sign would put God to the test, something that the Bible does say we should not do. But remember, God's the one saying to do it. God is the one making the offer. I will give you a sign. Just tell me what you want to see. And so Ahaz says, no, I'll pass. But God was not to be denied. He gives Ahaz and his people a sign anyway, a sign that would become one of the most famous and remarkable prophecies in all the Old Testament. That's where verse 14 comes in. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. By the way, where it says, I will give you a sign, the you in the Hebrew was plural. It wasn't just Ahaz, it was for all the people. They would see that God is with them. And that's what the name Emmanuel means. Now we know that the ultimate fulfillment would occur with the Virgin Mary giving birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. But since signs in those days were fulfilled more rapidly, we see that this particular prophecy was fulfilled in a short period of time. Go on to verse 15 of chapter 7. Speaking of this child, Emmanuel, he will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. The Lord will bring on you and your people and on the house of your father a time unlike any since Ephraim broke away from Judah. He will bring the king of Assyria. He's saying this is going to happen in a short time. There is going to be a baby born. And before that child is weaned, before it starts to eat solid food, these two kings that you're worried about are going to be gone. So we're looking at just a matter of a few years. And if we look ahead to the next chapter in Isaiah 8:8, he speaks of Emmanuel as already being born. Well, how can that be? I thought this was about Jesus. Well, this is one of many prophecies in the Old Testament that have an immediate and an ultimate fulfillment. The immediate fulfillment happened at that time. And in fact, most scholars will agree that the child spoken of was actually going to be a son of Isaiah. He was married and had a son who was actually with him when he talked to King Ahaz. But apparently that wife had died. And he was about to marry another woman who was a virgin at the time that he gives this prophecy. So this virgin whom I'm about to marry is going to have a child. We're going to call him Emmanuel. And you'll see Emmanuel appear in the next couple of chapters by name in Isaiah. And before that child is eating solid food, these kings you're worried about are going to be taken care of. So there was an immediate fulfillment to this prophecy at that time. And this showed that Isaiah was telling the truth. But while it had an immediate fulfillment then, the Holy Spirit inspires Matthew to see the fulfillment of that prophecy ultimately in the birth of Jesus. And Jesus was the final and ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy. For he was God with us. He was Emmanuel in the fullest sense of the word. And this brings us to what I'm calling the overshadowing provision. I'm using that phrase partly because it's used in Luke 1:35 when the angel describes to Mary how this is going to take place. And he says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Mary had asked, how can I have a child? I haven't been with a man. And this is the explanation that's given. But I also use it because this provision not only fulfills Isaiah's prophecy, but it overshadows it as well. It is actually greater than the immediate prophecy that Isaiah had given. You see, Isaiah's prophecy that God is with you was temporary. Judah itself would eventually be destroyed because of its lack of faithfulness to God. But this ultimate fulfillment would be permanent in nature. When Jesus comes, He is Emmanuel, God with us forever. Although the first Emmanuel was the prophet Isaiah's son, the greater Emmanuel would be the Son of God. The original virgin of Isaiah 7:14 had to marry before she could become pregnant. But we see that the Virgin Mary was found pregnant before she got together with Joseph. And although the Israelites and Emmanuel of Ahaz's day could say God is with us, only in the sense that the Lord was delivering them from the military enemies of the time, the greater Emmanuel was and is the truth. God is with us, and He will be with us forever. He is deity incarnate, God in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit, inspiring Isaiah at the time, placed Isaiah 7:14 as the partial fulfillment then, but the ultimate fulfillment some 700 years later. Now, that's something that Matthew notes throughout his gospel. How many times the Old Testament prophecies are fulfilled in the life of Jesus. No less than 5 times does he use that phrase just in the birth of Jesus alone, where he points to Old Testament predictions that were coming true with the birth of Jesus. You see, Christianity is not some brand new religion founded only 2,000 years ago. Really, it's a fulfillment of what God had started from the very beginning of time. All the Old Testament is pointing toward sending God's Son to earth. And that's why we need both of the Old and the New Testaments. The two parts belong together as one revelation. This is all God's Word, Old and New Testament. And Matthew is one that brings the two together and shows us how they are connected. You'll notice in Matthew's version, he says, all this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. He emphasizes that all of the items mentioned were fulfilled, not just some of them. And he speaks of the words not as spoken by the prophet, but as spoken by the Lord through the prophet. He understands this is God's word. This is God's promise that He is bringing to pass. Matthew takes inspired prophecy very seriously. And you see it throughout his gospel. Now, some have accused Matthew of twisting the meaning of the original Hebrew term for virgin, but it is clearly the word used throughout the Old Testament to mean one who had never been with a man. And there is no twisting here. In fact, Luke gives us maybe even a clearer demonstration of the fact that Mary would be a virgin. The angel has this whole conversation with Mary. How can this be? I'm not married yet. I've never been with a man. How can I conceive and have a child? So both Matthew and Luke point to the fact that Mary was a virgin when she conceived. Now, as far as we know, Jesus was never called Emmanuel as a name. No one ever said to him, hey, Emmanuel, come over here. It wasn't so much a name as it was a description. It was a title. God is with us. It's not a prayer. We're not asking God to be with us. It's a statement. God is with us. I must admit, sometimes I'm amused when someone will pray at a church service and they'll ask, oh God, we ask that your presence would be among us. He's already here. We don't have to ask him to be here. That would be like me saying, hey Trace, I'd like you to come to church today. And he's already here. Right? The truth of Emmanuel is that God is with us. We don't have to ask Him to come along. He's already there. And for those of us who have the Spirit of Jesus living with us, as we're going to see in a moment, He continues to be with us. Now, this is quite a bold statement Matthew is making right at the outset of his gospel. It's very exclusive. Only Jesus can be called God in the flesh, God with us. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a rabbi. He is God with us. He is God in the flesh. And that is a claim that cannot be abandoned without abandoning the faith entirely. We cannot backpedal on this at all. Jesus Christ is God the Son, who came in the flesh, lived among us, died for our sins, rose again, is now in heaven, but He's coming back to earth. Jesus Christ is nothing less than God in the flesh. According to Hebrews 2, Jesus shared in our humanity. He was made like His brothers in every way, tempted in every way just as we are, though He did not sin. He has walked in our shoes. He can relate to our pains and our problems that we encounter because He's been there. He has experienced what we experience. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And that brings us to the ongoing promise. Yes, we celebrate at Christmas the fact that some 2,000 years ago, God became a human being, born as a baby in the little town of Bethlehem. To the same effect, John testifies that the Word who was God, the Word who is God, that same Word became flesh and lived among us. Literally, that Greek verb is pitched His tent. You could literally read that, He tabernacled among us. He lived with us. And through His redemptive work, God's promise to dwell in the midst of His people has become a present reality. And it'll have a glorious consummation in the future when He returns and restores the earth to what it ought to be. But this ongoing promise doesn't just have past and future implications. Do you know what Jesus' last words on earth were before He went to heaven? He said, "I will always be with you, even to the end of the age." I will always be with you. Hebrews 13:5 echoes God's promise, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And these are promises we can cling to in the present, right now. Our God is with us because of what Jesus did in coming to earth. And Paul wrote in Colossians 2:9, "In Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form." Jesus is God. And God is always with us. He is always for us. He is always in us. We may forget Him, but God will never forget us. We are always on His mind. We are forever in His plans. Not just God made us. Not just God thinks of us. Not just God above us. God with us. God is where we are at. Whether it's in the office, in the kitchen, on the plane, He breathed our air. He walked this earth. God is with us. You know, many people feel alone at Christmas time. Right now, you may not feel like God is with you. But God's presence is in your life regardless of how you feel. Your emotions are susceptible to all kinds of influences, and they're often unreliable. Sometimes the worst advice you can get is do what you feel. Go with your heart. That can get us in all kinds of trouble. Often what we feel is neither real nor is it right. Our emotional state can be the result of memories, hormones, medicines, food, lack of sleep, tension, fear, the list goes on. All of these things affect the way we feel. You might say, I really am alone. I've been abandoned by my family, my spouse, my parents, my children, people I thought were my friends. I really am alone. That's a fact, not just a feeling. But God has not abandoned you, and He never will. God is with us. That is the ongoing promise of Christmas. God came to earth to remind us that He is always with us, no matter where we are. And that is a fact whether we feel it or not. Another one of God's great promises is also found in Isaiah. Isaiah 43 and verse 2. It says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I don't know what difficulty you may be facing right now in your life. You may feel like you're drowning. You may feel like you're burning up. But I can tell you this, God knows about it. God cares about it. He understands it. And He is going through it with you. You are not alone. Emmanuel, God with us. This is the essence of Christmas. All of our problems, all the problems of the world can be traced back to sin. And Jesus Christ entered the world to take care of the sin problem. He laid down His life as the payment for sins. He offers forgiveness of sins. And He gives us an eternal home free from sin. And that's really the truth of Christmas. If we miss that, we've missed the whole point. The greatest Christmas gift ever given came wrapped not in shiny paper and bows, but in swaddling clothes. God the Son became a helpless human baby. He became one of us. And He gave His life as the ultimate sacrifice for sin so that we might be forgiven, so that we might become children of God. You know, that gift has no expiration date. It is still available today. But like any gift, you must receive it to benefit from it. And here's the really good news. You don't have to wait till Christmas morning to open that gift. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father, we are so thankful for the fulfillment of Your promise. You are with us. You sent Your Son to live on this earth, to experience life as we know it, and then to die on the cross for our sins. When He was received back into heaven, You sent the Holy Spirit, who literally lives in us. Every Christian can say, God is in me. God is with me wherever I go. That is the beauty of Christmas. Not just Christmas, but throughout our lives, knowing that You are with us. Knowing this, when we go through the floods and through the fire, You do not abandon us. You are with us. And it is my prayer that everyone who hears this message would know the reality of God with us. Would receive the gift of Your Son given thousands of years ago, that will change our lives forever. And that no matter what we go through, we know that You will not leave us nor forsake us. You are there with us. We are never alone because of Emmanuel, God with us. Help us to share the truth of Emmanuel throughout this Christmas season. so that others may come to know the wonderful promise as we have. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, our Emmanuel, God with us, that we pray. Amen.